Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2019, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geeky Gay. This is the show where I talk about my life every single day, Monday through Friday. And today is no different. Welcome. I'm glad you've all joined me. So I had a couple of responses. You know, I asked, I'm just going to repeat this this question to everyone. I asked for people to submit some, you know, what I should say in my intro instead of what I normally say, because I was like, this isn't very good. That fade out wasn't very good either. But so Joe in Dallas said, so let's just try this. We'll just give it a little bit. Oops, that's not good. We'll just do this and we'll play this. Good whatever time you're listening. This is Adam Burns, and this is Geeky Gay. On today's show, I'll be talking about... .. All right. Well, that was entry number one. Let's try that. It's kind of a long intro. Let me start it a little bit. Maybe I can start it a little bit in. Let's see if this works. Here we go. I'm the hot tech whiz with a point of view. Fabulous and able to fix your sound, hunky and handy, with a soundboard. This is Geeky Gay. I don't know. I'm not really sure anyway. Those were Joe's two entries. So you guys can tell me what you think. So anyway, yeah, sorry I played the intro like five times. Oh, I should totally fade that out now. And I'm just grabbing my day planner from the cruise, because today we're going back to the cruise. And I believe I had finished up with Juno, which was day number five. So we're going to talk about day number six. So I'm pulling up my cruise compass here, which is our the daily, you know, the daily goings on around the ship, et cetera, et cetera. And so basically what we did on day six is we stopped in a town called Skagway. For centuries, the Tlingits lived in present-day Skagway, hunting, fishing, and enjoying the tranquility of it all. Everything changed once gold was discovered in the Klondike region. The rush of 1898 was officially on. Thousands of hopeful prospectors set up camp in Skagway, the perfect base for 500-mile trek to the gold fields. Those that stayed behind opened up supply stores and saloons. Meanwhile, nearby Dia, offered yet another route up the Chilkoot Trail. And by the time the gold rush fizzled out, a mere 2 years later, the town of Skagway had developed enough to become the first incorporated city in Alaska. If you want to relive the gold rush days, you'll find about 100 buildings from the era in Skagway's historical district. Visit one of the original camps nearby, or ride the world-famous White Pass and Yukon Railroad along the historic route. But if you want to experience the peace and quiet cherished by the ancient Tlingits, the old miner settlement of Dia has since been reclaimed by nature and is now a great place for hiking and horseback riding. So the forecast was mostly sunny. It was 61 to 68, although I think it was hotter than that. And the winds out of the north, 5 to 10 kilometers. No, KTS. I'm not sure what that is. 6 to 12 miles per hour. Oh, maybe it's knots. 6 to 12 miles per hour. Sunrise at 3:53 a.m. Sunset at 10:09. Arrival at 7 a.m. on deck 5 is where the gangway is, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, what we did in Skagway is just a kind of an old-looking town with a lot of, I don't know. And I'm not sure if the port is near the historic district or not, but a lot of the buildings look really old, and they do have a show that's like, I don't know, it focuses on some story of a guy who made a fortune there, but I believe he made a fortune not actually for the gold. He wasn't a gold miner, but he did something else. And I don't remember. There was a whole story about it, but I don't remember I don't remember much about him. So I can't give you guys much information. But on that day, we actually took a train ride. So there was a train called the White Pass Railway, I believe. And it has been in business in some form or fashion since the Gold Rush time. Apparently, there was a trail that they would have to walk to get to the Yukon to do the gold mining and everything. And within a year or so, they decided they were going to build this railway. And so they built the railway, and then everyone could actually take their supplies and everything to the Yukon on this railway. Well, you know, when the gold rush died out, they used these railway cars for supplies and, you know, other thing for people traveling. And it might have shut down. I don't remember. It might have shut down at some point, but then eventually it reopened as more of a tourist train. So now they, you know, it's a tourist train and you get on and it takes you to the Yukon area in Canada. And they actually, you know, you go into Canada on the train. So you have to take your passport with you on this train. And then they basically at the Canadian border, and it's not really even the border because apparently we were told the border is in avalanche territory. And so they didn't want to build any buildings or any border crossing stuff at the actual border. So they put the border a mile or two away from that. But the train is boarded by Canadian, I don't know, border authorities, whatever they're called. And you have to pull out your passport. They, you know, they check and make sure you're legal and all that kind of stuff. And I really love train rides. So like, I really enjoyed it. The scenery was beautiful, but I will say this. We go to get on, and there's this little girl with this family, and she runs ahead of us and just grabs the best seat in the entire train. And we didn't even know what the best seat was going to be, but she just grabbed it. And so we start on our way, and we realize that the seat she had was indeed the best seat on the train. We had the seats that were hugging the mountain wall or hugging the cliff. She had the seat on the other side that had this beautiful view of like all these mountains and valleys and, you know, everything, a completely clear view. And not only that, but there were, you know, in between the trains, there are little platforms that you can go stand on, and they have railing and all that. And you can kind of look out and see what's going on. She and her mother spent so much time on this freaking area that other people didn't have a chance to hardly go out there. And they even had announced, you know, make sure that you take your turn, but don't just stand out there for a long time because you're blocking other people who might want to see the views and everything. No, they were out there, I want to say, for a good 2/3 of the trip. So when we got off and we got on our, because basically it takes you one way, this particular tour, it takes you one way to the Yukon area, and then you get back on a bus, and the bus took us to the sign that says welcome to the Yukon, and we all took photos there, and then the bus takes you back to this suspension bridge and this gift shop area. We had a lunch of bison chili at this restaurant. And so there was all other kinds of stuff. So Mark and I, we made sure we got in front of this girl so we could get a better spot on the coach or on the bus going back. But anyway, she was a brat just running up there getting the best seat. So we did the train and I got some good photos there. I saw an armadillo on a rock. I did get to go outside for a little bit and I did see an armadillo on a rock. And that was really cool. Mark did not see the armadillo. I don't know why that was cool because we have armadillos here, but I was like, ooh, armadillo on a rock as I passed by it on a train with a beautiful mountain backdrop. I'm not sure. But so we did that, and then we had the lunch. They brought us back. We explored the town a little bit, but it was a very small town. So there wasn't a whole lot to do in the town. We just kind of walked around and looked in the gift shops. We found a magnet, as we do. And then all aboard time was 4:30. So I believe we actually, because we had to get up, we had to get off the boat super early for that train ride. And so we didn't have time to work out. So we went to work out after we got back onto the ship. And I may have said boat. My apologies, Auntie Vera. And then that night we had dinner, and then our headliner was Private Stock, which was this, I don't know, it was a rock and roll tribute band. Yeah, I'm not into rock and roll tribute bands, but it was enjoyable. I mean, it was fun. They did a good job, and we enjoyed it. But anyway, all right, well, that was day 6. For more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can email me with ideas of how I should start the intro at adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can find many more episodes at, or actually many more LGBT and LGBT friendly podcasts at pride48.com. See you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.